As jy daar die deentjie hoor, dan weet jy al, dit is sulke tyd, dit is tyd vir Elevated. Met myself, Jenna Lee Belong, it's my absolute privilege to be your host for the next hour, bringing you quality content, Christian content, on the best, the most trusted Christian radio station, Radio Pulpit. Today, I bring you Her Excellency Prudence Mochumi, who's an advocate for Kingdom citizens to make an impact in the workspaces. She takes us on a journey of identifying ourselves in Christ, also sharing her own personal experiences, living and studying around the world, about finding her purpose in the corporate world, and so much more. All of this, as I encourage you, post the elections, after the inauguration of the president. I'll tell you all about that, by the way, during my message, just in a few minutes. But I want to encourage you to take your place as a kingdom citizen and an ambassador for Christ in your workplace, and I believe that Prudence Mochumi will help me to do that as well. So I have Prudence joining me in a bit. Let's kickstart the program with Praise Peterson's Let Me Go. Very quickly, my elevation message of the day. And today, family, I just want to share my personal experience with you because it's a testimony and I've not spoken about it anywhere before. So I want to talk to you about it. My very first presidential inauguration experience. So a few days ago, of course, a day or two ago, at the Union Buildings, President Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa was inaugurated to take up his second term as president of South Africa. This time, it looks a bit different because he's doing so under the government of national unity and still a lot of politics and uncertainty up in the air. I don't want to get into that. I want to tell you that, you know, for me to just have been part of the atmosphere, being in the same room where so many dignitaries were, presidents, heads of state from across the continent, members of parliament were there. I wanted to tell you my experience as I was reporting from among the people, the general public, and also moving around with the dignitaries rather. I want to tell you what I noticed as a child of God. I noticed that there are many children of God in very key positions, not just in our country in terms of the legislatures or even government, but behind the scenes, from the media to, I don't know, companies and business, a lot of children of God are in key positions. I was, of course, just for some behind the scenes info, especially for you, my elevated family. I was freezing because we had to be there at 3:30 in the morning. So I got up at 2 a.m. I was on the road by 3 a.m. or 3:30 rather. We were already driving. Soldiers everywhere, police everywhere. Very high security measures were in place to make sure that the president and everybody else, that we were safe. Got their media busy setting up. I had to get my makeup done while standing. I was standing, I was shivering, not dressed appropriately. But nonetheless, what I want to tell you, as I just said, is that we've got children of God everywhere. And I want to encourage you that at your workplace, you are positioned to make a difference for the kingdom of God in this world. You are positioned to speak life into your company, into the continent. You have a position. God has positioned you divinely so to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to speak about Jesus and to spend as much time as you can in the Word and with your family at church and reading and teaching yourself the Word of God, and so that we can understand the mind of Christ. We might be renewed, our minds might be renewed, so that in our workplaces we can start thinking like God, speaking like God, so that we can move His agenda. That's it. That's my elevation message of the day. Joining us now is our guest for the day, a woman of God who's doing great things for the kingdom. Her name is Prudence Mochumi. She's a facilitator, speaker, mentor, and the founder of Purpose Inspired. She is pushing for kingdom citizens in business spaces to acknowledge God in their day-to-day business. So hopefully, if you are a kingdom citizen on the corporate mountain, on the business mountain, you'll also get some advice today. Prudence, good day, and thank you for joining us here on Elevated.
Good morning, and thank you so much for the invitation. I'm humbled to be here this morning, and I'm excited to be talking to those kingdom entrepreneurs, the business leaders, those who are in the corporate world, because 80% of us are in the corporate world. And so I'm excited to be here this morning representing the International Marketplace Summit Ministry that was birthed out of Purpose Inspired.
We'll get to the conference that you're hosting in November a bit later on for those kingdom citizens in business. But let's perhaps start with a bit of your background. You studied at Middlesex University in London, England, and you have a business or an honors degree. You majored in human resource management. That's a bit of what we know about your educational background in as far as business is concerned. But take us back to your upbringing and how you ended up studying in London.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So to all the listeners, yes, just to introduce myself in terms of education, I was born in Kimberley, Northern Cape, in the dusty roads of Kimberley. Is where I grew up as a child. I finished my matric at the school there at the high school there in Kimberley. And after that, I had the opportunity to go and study in England. And, I never even thought I would get there. And it was way back in the day when it was a lot of rioting in South Africa. The universities were not functioning very well. And that is really how I ended up in England. If it was okay for me to go to university here, I would have been, but God's plan obviously was different for me. A little bit more about, I studied business administration, and that has really set me up for doing a lot of the work that I do today with business leaders. I've got also qualifications in leadership development. I've done some courses in the university in Accra, in Ghana. I also have attended the university in Kenya, in Kenyatta University. So I've been a global citizen, really, in terms of my learnings. And here in South Africa, I've attended GIPS. I've done a lot of leadership development programs there as well. And I'm currently busy because I've recently been appointed as a Global Peace Ambassador. I'm busy also with a master's in leadership management and in diplomacy, so that one knows how to manage yourself when you are on these global stages. Yeah, so that's some of my background. I've also been to Bible school. So I've been to 3 Bible schools. I have the opportunity right after I finished my honors in England, I went straight to the Bible school the next year. And I always used to think, but Lord, why did I even waste my time in the business school? Because I was born to teach the word of God. So I really didn't understand why the Lord allowed me to go to university when I saw that the Bible school is really what I was born to do. So as I said, I've been to 3 Bible schools subsequently. I was just studying to show myself approved because I knew that God had called me for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Prudence, all the way from Kimberley to England and Ghana, as you said, really trotting the world and busy being equipped and spreading the gospel all over the world. That must have been quite an adjustment, though. Kimberley to England. Talk to me about that adjustment period and what some of the most difficult things are to get used to when you become not only a South African citizen, but as you said, a global citizen.
Yeah, so it was quite an adjustment. And I remember I'd never been on a plane before when I went to England. I'd never been on a flight anywhere. So that flight was about 11 hours. I can't even remember if I ever went to the bathroom. I just sat there and hoped that I was going to arrive alive on the other side of the world. So yes, it was an adjustment. I also, most people don't know, my schooling was in Afrikaans. So I had then the other challenge of learning English. And that's when I discovered that people learn, think in a language. So I had to start to think because I was always translating my thoughts into English. So I had to now learn to speak English or to do all my subjects in English, let me say that. I also remember I became very aware because I was the only black child in the school. So my school where I went, I was schooling in Kent. So I was literally the only black child, which ended up being I was the celebrity. People would touch my hair. People would touch me all the time. I was allowed to sit with my coffee in the class because I was cold forever. It was snowing. Sometimes it was so cold that we would go to school and there would be icicles forming on your hair. That's how cold it was where I was. So I wasn't used to that. So it was an adjustment everywhere. The church where I went to, we were the only black family in that community church, where I got saved. The community where we lived, we were five, three black families. One was my one, and both of the other black kids were my friends, but their families were white. We were the only black family with parents who were also black. So it was just too many adjustments. In school, just seeing how the schooling was, sitting in the classroom, seeing how the children related to the teachers talking back. I mean, everything was a shock. So I at least I survived that whole experience. So everything was an adjustment. Going to the shopping mall, going to the grocery store, being the only black person in that community again. So I guess that was a lot of the things that I had to wrestle with at the time. It was an adjustment, and it helped me though, and it prepared me for the global citizen that I am today.
Prudence, I hear you talking about going to church even in England at that young age. And you are coming from Kimberley, where I know there's a very strong Pentecostal movement in Kimberley as well. So perhaps just also talk to us about where your relationship with God really started. Where were you introduced to God as your savior?
Yeah, wonderful. So I have always been taken to church. My mom was very strong in church. She was one of the women in the women's prayer group, movement that they had at the time. So, but we were Lutheran, so we went to church. Didn't listen much. I was always sleeping in church as a child. My mom, I remember we used to have those Easter conferences where we would have big church and all the churches get together, and she will carry us. There would be sleeping under the benches in the church because we will be going out into outskirts, Upington, all these other places around Kimberley. And she would just literally, when we get there, she'll put her children there and off they went and did all the church meetings that they were doing. And I never thought anything of these things. So fast forward many years. Later, I'm now in this community church in England. My mom is there again in the church. I was adopted, so I have two mothers. So I went to church, and that's what we did. So as I was going to church, and that was now a Pentecostal church, here you hear about solidly getting saved, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember after some time, I just every Sunday would turn up in church and crying, sitting there crying. And I was thinking, like, what is this crying about? So as the Lord was wooing me, I didn't realize it was happening. So I would actually, as I go to church on Sunday, I think, today I'm not crying in that church. I am not. And I'd go to church, and eventually I thought, no, okay, there's something here. So I got up one Sunday and gave my life to the Lord way back in 1993. And I've just realized it's 30 years exactly. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so that was how my journey with the Lord started, way back in that community church in Coppice Christians Community Church in England, in Kent, England.
Oh, glory to God. And look at the amazing work that God is doing through you right now. We're going to talk about the organization that you started for women as well. But you spoke now, Prudence, about being adopted. Talk to me about that process and what you went through throughout this process, what it birthed in you.
That has been a very interesting one because I was adopted in my family, but it also then came with the drama and the family feud that then unfolded. I was with my parents first, so that my adopted parents, who was my uncle and aunt at the time, who up until I finished my matric. Then, as I said, there was the universities. There was a lot of challenges around that time. In 1990, 2, 3 is when I actually went to England. It's just when South Africa was going to have a democracy in 1994. So that's why the universities were not functioning. So I then went over there, and I for the first time then lived with my mom, my actual biological mom. for the first time. So that was a very interesting one. As an adult child, so I was 18 when I went and lived with her. So we had to really get to know one another. She was obviously around all the time. So she was then the aunt. So that was also interesting to just get used to how things are done differently and also to live with your parent for the first time. And I remember many years later, as I was just grappling with this being adopted, the Lord said to me, you are chosen, is the way that you're looking at that whole experience. That children sometimes, when they are adopted, they carry this spirit of rejection, they're being adopted, not being wanted. And I was adopted at 6 months old. And so I remember the Lord was then just rewiring me about that and said, but the people who brought you up, your parents, who I call mom and dad, they chose you. Children who are born into families, you just show up in that family, but you were chosen. And so that's how I want you to look at it. And from that day forward, I realized how special it is that if we look at Israel and ourselves, that we are the adopted ones. That is how we would look at that today. And that has been really one of the things that just really healed me from that process. It really just restored the way I looked at myself and restored my identity in Christ.
Listening to you as we continue to say, being a global citizen, being a representative of God everywhere, listening to your story, you talking about your adoption, a lot of these things can cause someone to have imposter syndrome. Sometimes you will find yourself in rooms and you feel like, I don't belong here. I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not good enough to be here, for whatsoever reason it might be. Prudence, what would your advice be to somebody who might still be battling with those thoughts of identity that you just touched on, with acceptance and with belonging? What would your advice be to them?
Yeah. So my advice would be that we really have to be rooted in our identity in Christ. I think, first of all, what I see these days, so I'm a reverend. So what I see these days in the church is that we don't really get grounded in our salvation experience. So we say up a prayer. Some churches may do a discipleship class, and then you are in the church. So then you're in the activity, caught up in the activity of church. You typically would serve in the church, or you won't. You will come just to church as a congregation member. And then this could go on for years where you are just there. You are singing. You are listening to the preachings. You are maybe applying the word, not applying the word. You know, many people have different experiences. But what I realized, the big missing part is that we don't know that you were translated from one kingdom to another. And because people don't know that, they don't then understand that they are now a different citizen. They don't know when the Bible talks about you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Imagine if I knew way back then that I'm a new creation. I don't have to struggle with, am I adopted? Was I loved? Was I left? Was I abandoned? Was I rejected? If I understood that I'm a new creation in Christ, not a new creation in this family, not a new creation in my positions, I'm a new creation in Christ. So that would have grounded my identity, and I would not have struggled and felt like I'm an imposter. And by the way, I still, when I'm in this global platforms where I am recently, as I said, I'm now a global peace ambassador all the time. I think it's people call it the imposter syndrome, but how I show up is with humility to say, Lord, how did I end up here in corporations where I sit on international boards of, and I'm the only South African. I always ask myself, but Lord, how did I get here? My story does not make sense, all the way from the dusty roads of Galeshewe in Kimberley all those many years ago.
Glory to God Almighty. If you just tuned in, you are catching my conversation with Her Excellency Prudence Mochumi, who's an advocate for kingdom citizens to make an impact in the workspace. We continue our conversation about solidifying our identity as kingdom citizens and business spaces after this music break. If you just tuned in, welcome to it. We are talking to Reverend Prudence Mochumi. She's a facilitator, speaker, mentor, founder of Purpose Inspired, and she is really, really advocating for kingdom citizens in business, in the corporate world, and trying to empower us to acknowledge God in our day-to-day business. Now, Prudence, you said earlier that I think it's close to 80% of Christians are in the marketplace. Why is it important, according to you, that we position ourselves on the business mountain and occupy?
Yes, typically in the church, 80% of us who are sitting there listening to a message on Sunday, we are not called behind the pulpit. So let's say 20% are called behind the pulpit to be pastors, apostles, teachers, evangelists, and prophets. They are called there, and the rest of the 80%, we are called to the marketplace. That is where we are going to showcase our gifts, our talents, and our abilities right in the marketplace. As a doctor, as a lawyer, as an HR professional, IT professional, marketing professional, that is where God wants us to be. And I think a lot of us are sitting there thinking, you know, I'm just waiting to preach and I'm waiting to go to the nations and take the gospel. You have an opportunity every day in the marketplace to showcase the gospel right there. And a lot of us don't even have to use the scriptures. We have to be the testaments, the epistles that people are reading in the marketplace every day. I believe that churches don't have to have so many outreach programs. We're going to feed this, we're going into this community, because if everyone in the body of Christ understands that the role for us to play, we would be going out in our marketplace where we have a captive audience. You are in a company with 1,000 people, you're in a company every day sitting there with 200 people, sitting with 20 people around you who may not be saved. Mm-hmm. So that is your captive audience. So I think how it really, the Lord unpacked it for me was the same way that I think people are wrestling with thinking about God wants to call us into fivefold ministry. And we don't understand that we have a place and a space in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So if I could continue, Jenna, so many, many years ago, you know, the Lord called me, as I said, I was saved many years ago, and people used to come to our church there in London and kept on prophesying, you are going to be a prophet to the nations, you are going to do this for God. And I used to think, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. I think that my calling was so obvious to every person, guest speaker and minister that used to come to our church. They would always call me up, please come forward. I'd be like, oh, dear God, not again. Please come forward. Oh, dear God, not again. So they would always talk about God has called you to the nations. Fast forward many years, although I didn't even understand what that meant. And at the time, I didn't see, we were in pastoral churches, so you wouldn't see prophets operating. So when they even said that, that even confused me more. And I always thought I was called to be a teacher. And that's why I love to go to Bible school. And that's why I've gone to Bible school after Bible school. So it went on, and I used to get these corporate roles, and I would have very busy jobs in these multinational companies in and outside of South Africa. So I'll be there and I'll be thinking, Lord, but when am I actually going to get into full-time ministry? Like, what is this? Why am I not getting out of business and into full-time ministry? And in 2018, the Lord told me, Prudence, you are in full-time ministry and you have been in full-time ministry. So the Lord was telling me that your pattern is business and Bible, meaning that you've always been all this dissatisfaction of, Lord, I want to get out of one thing and into another. No, the pattern is that those 80% of believers, what you are doing, Jenna, in your marketplace, God wants us to be there. And there's lots of scriptures in the Bible, like Acts 17:17, where Paul is in the marketplace daily, where Jesus is in the marketplace in Mark 6:56, where the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees are in the marketplace. So this concept of us locking ourselves in the church is just not scriptural. It's not biblical. You have to be where the people are. And that is why you can have 10 churches in a community. The community is not touched. The community is not affected. Why? Because people, we are in the church singing and evangelizing ourselves, while Jesus said the Great Commission, go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And we are not doing that. So I'm passionate about the marketplace ever since the Lord opened my eyes to see that. And he said to me, that is the mandate that I have. So I'm now going around to tell people about marketplace ministry. But it's not something new. It sounds new because of how we've been churched before. So that is, you can hear how passionate I am about this, right?
Absolutely. And Prudence, you do have over 20 years HR management experience as well. So with all your education and all the Bible schooling and the anointing and the calling, you're perfectly equipped to be doing this. I do want to ask you, as an HR professional then, and as a woman of God, what's your advice for people in the corporate world, in the marketplace, on how to build a successful career so that you might be positioned to influence on behalf of the kingdom?
How people to be placed is first of all to understand that God has placed you there. I think if because we don't understand that God has placed us there, we continuously are trying to get out of it and get into something else, and we don't see our work as sacred work. So our work that we do, the everyday sacred work. So in myself, I'm a director of Crystal Consulting, which is a human resource consulting organization. I sit with business leaders every day to bring transformation and engage employee engagement to their corporations. So I'm there. Yes, I bring that to the table, but I'm constantly listening to their heart. I'm constantly listening and looking at the culture. I'm constantly spiritually attuned to what exactly is happening there, because I know it's not all in the textbooks that I, even though I've studied in universities across the world, it's not in those textbooks. There is a spiritual element to what is happening in the work environment. The statistics that we work with as HR professionals will tell you that 60% in the work environment are disengaged. That is why people always have been wanting to work from home. They are trying to escape from something, because the work environment is contentious, is competitive, is combative. There is so much stress in the work environment. So I will tell people, first of all, understand why you are here. There. Go again with your full identity. You're a child of God. Now, if you're a child of God and you come into any environment, you must make a difference there. I always tell people, when I arrive in any company, and they have taken me on as a consultant to come and help them with HR, when I put my bags down wherever they tell me to sit, I start to declare the kingdom of God has now come in this place. So I've come to be salt and light there. So if I know my mandate and the agenda, then I know I'm not there for salaries. I know I'm not there for my children's private schooling. I'm not there to buy my next car. Because I understand that the schooling, the cars, the promotions, they come as a result of me advancing the kingdom of God there. But if I come there for more money and all those other things, when the battle comes, who will come to support me? Who will keep me in that place? And that is why a lot of believers, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I was retrenched. Pastor, pray for me. I'm out of my job. Because we don't understand why God has created a place and a space for you right there in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Now, you're also hosting the International Marketplace Summit. We are running out of time, but I'd love for you to just talk us through what people can expect on the 4th of November. It's in Lynbrook Park in Sandton. Incredible speakers you're having there.
Yeah, so God has upgraded this conference and I'm excited about it. So we have a conference, it's called the Marketplace Champions Conference. We want to give visibility to those of us who are there championing the cause of Christ in the marketplace. So it's on the 4th of November, as you just mentioned. And this theme of this conference, because we had one earlier in the year, the theme of this end of year conference is stewarding kingdom wealth. Now, if you're a typical pastor, or you're going to ask your pastor, how many people are praying about finances, or how many people come for counseling about finances? I don't have a job. I'm out of my job. My business is going down. My business had to close down. There's a third of our prayers are in this ambit of finances. So we want to talk about how to steward kingdom wealth. People don't understand. You know, we have prayed in church. We have fasted. We've done a lot of things. But we may not understand how to be good stewards. And the Bible tells us clearly, who will give you much if you are not a good steward of someone else's thing? Who will, if you are not serving in the church well, how is God going to give you your own church and your own ministry? If you are not serving another man well in the business, in the marketplace where you are, the company, you are finance, you are an administrator, you are a personal assistant, you are a CEO. If you are not there stewarding that company well, how can you ask God, Lord, I need a global business. Father, I want to go. No, we have to be good stewards. So this conference is about that. We want to put in your hands the keys to unlock your kingdom wealth. And listen, I'm not talking about riches. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about wealth. It's time for us to step out and go into the marketplace for total takeover. So yes, we have got international speakers coming. Dr. Marino is coming to come and talk to us about that. What are the keys to unlock that kingdom wealth? We've got Reverend Sade. She's always talking about God's economy. So she's well known over the nations, coming to talk. There's an economy of God. So some people, we are in the world economy, but there's an economy of God that is completely insulated from all the things that are happening in what we are seeing around the world. Then Brandon Raja is also coming, and he's going to also talk to us, help us to talk about those businesses that we may have started. They are not functioning anymore. Maybe you closed it down. Maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe you thought God didn't call you. God may have called you, but the enemy just really so much contention against your business and it didn't work out. It is time for you to resuscitate that business again, because it is time for your kingdom wealth. Then Piet Kruger is going to come and talk to us. He's a reward specialist, and he's going to talk to us about how do we negotiate. You know, it's so difficult. People all the time in the corporate world, when they go from one job to another, they don't know how to negotiate salaries. So Piet is a reward specialist. He's going to talk to us about how to negotiate total reward packages. Because sometimes we also think, I'm a Christian. Am I greedy? Do I have to get so much money? You know, am I being unreasonable? Let us come and let us be equipped and empowered to prosper
Amen.
In the marketplace. And then we also have a doctor who's coming, who's going to talk to us about kingdom wealth. So our doctor is, Dr. Malebo is also going to talk to us about how do you steward kingdom wealth. Health is wealth. And she's going to talk to us about if your health is not intact, you cannot even begin to fulfill your God assignment. And
So
I know
true.
that. I am just from a mission in Ghana. I am feeling like I need to rest some more, because it doesn't matter how anointed I am. It may, if my health is not intact, I cannot fulfill my God assignment. So yes, come and
Absolutely.
don't miss this conference. Don't miss this conference.
There you have it. The 4th of November, tickets are available on Quicket. Thank you so much. We're unfortunately out of time. Great conversation there, Reverend Prudence Mochumi. We can't wait to speak to you again. God bless you and the incredible work that you do in the marketplace. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to the listeners.
Once again, a very big thank you to our guest who joined me on the line here on Elevated on Radio Pulpit today. And this is also where you'll find me again next week. Same time, same place. Remember, you can catch us on DSTV Audio Channel 882. And you can also, of course, download our app. I always encourage you to do so. The Radio Pulpit app, you can also listen to us there. We are, of course, the Christian radio station for the Rainbow Nation. We bring you the unadulterated word of God. And remember, if you would like to advertise on Radio Pulpit, if you would like to advertise your business, we've got more than 400,000 listeners. We have more than 225,000 Facebook followers that would, of course, benefit from hearing about your business and vice versa. And we have an approximate reach of 1.3 million people per month on Facebook. That's excluding our daily devotional readership of 250,000. And as I just said, our listeners can catch us via DSTV Audio Channel 882, OpenView Channel 607, Facebook Live during streaming. We also stream live via our website, which is where a lot of people across the world listen to us. Android and iPhone apps available as well. For more information, do go to radiopulpit.co.za and be sure to advertise your business right here on Radio Pulpit. I'll be back with you next week, as I said, here on Elevated. My name is Jenilee Belong, and you can find me on social media under the name or the handle Lady Belong, Lady BILONG. Tot volgende keer, goedheid en guns, goodness and mercy. Good day.